children time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. Well, we're still here, people, and as I thought we might be. And before we get into the show, let me first mention the show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com. And also by canceralternative.us. So please do check them out. They are some wonderful people. They have some wonderful products and a lot of help for you there. And here we are, after the infamous 12-21-12. And, of course, now the next thing that's going to be happening is people are going to be warning you that, oh, it's all happening in 2013. And other people are saying, no, it's not coming till 2018 or 2019. So you have plenty of things to be afraid of, okay? There's no lack of terrible things that could happen. Before we get into preparation for the new year, let me just say, it doesn't do you any good to be afraid. Yes, you should prepare for any disaster, but giving in to fear is the worst thing you can do, because fear can paralyze you. And so what the heck is that going to help? So you'll find from time to time, I'll either have guests on, they'll be talking about disaster preparations, or I'll be talking about it myself and giving you some insights into how to survive. And it's not because any of us are afraid, but because, you know, a lot of us were Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. And so, you know, you're taught to be always prepared. And in the case of things like Hurricane Sandy, and previous to that, Hurricane Katrina, in the case of major earthquakes, excuse me, I've got a cough. In the case of all of these things that can happen, the disasters in the community where all those little children were shot by an idiot, probably mind controlled, but you know, you can expect to see more of that stuff going on, unfortunately. And, you know, what are you going to do to be prepared? So what I would like you to do is to start focusing through this next week on what you really want in life, and go through the previous year as well as all of your previous years and write down some of your biggest lessons that you have learned from difficult times. This will give you a better appreciation of who you are. Because, you know, you can't have good times all the time. In fact, that's very boring. And if you're a fan of the Matrix trilogy, then, you know, I think it was the last one where Mr. Smith tells Neo, well, we tried paradise for you guys and, you know, we were losing crops because it was too boring. So what I'm suggesting is that you go back and you think about what has brought you to be who you are. And yeah, none of us likes going through the terrible tribulations and stuff. It sucks, okay? It frankly sucks. When we lose the people that we love, or when we lose a portion of our body, or we get a disease and lose a portion of our health, these are devastating things. They're not fun, and they're not ever going to be fun. However, these are things that we pick, and yes, we do pick them, when we're on the other side in order to teach us certain lessons. So, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of you out there going, what? I didn't pick this. This totally sucks. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you are a multidimensional being, and when you have your full faculties, this is just a video game. And so your avatar is supposed to go through these different challenges. So if you look at it that way, it might help you to be able to get through the next several years, which look like are going to be doozies. And I've been watching the feng shui and all this stuff, and the feng shui for next year is pretty bad too. The last 2 years were bad. Well, it's going to continue. So if you're into feng shui, I would say do the protective stuff primarily. Make sure that you're safe as much as possible. Take precautions and go about your life. Live your life. And be prepared for whatever you can be prepared for. You know, you never know what's going to hit you from any direction. And I can tell you, when I got rear-ended on the freeway and I was at a standstill, I could not go left or right. My lane stopped. And, I mean, it stopped suddenly. And there I was in an old Mercedes. And thank God I was, because the guy that hit me was doing 75 miles an hour, never even applied the brakes. So he accordioned my car. Now, I happened to really like that car. You know, it was a really good car, even though it was old and it was comfortable. And the engine was strong. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, what was going through my mind just before that happened? And what was going through my mind was this friend of mine who's an animal intuitive had called me up and said, you know, I was talking with your cat, and your cat tells me that you're going to move to the country and you're going to have a truck. And I thought, well, I like trucks. You know, trucks are pretty useful because I'm always hauling something around. And I thought, I wonder what that means. And about 2.5 seconds later, my lane came to a stop and I got creamed. And my car was totaled. The other two drove away. The other two people were fine. I was fine. A little sore. But I thought, you know, the first thing I said when I jumped out of that car and went up to the person in front of me was, are you okay? And yeah, she was okay. And I looked at her Nissan subcompact and I said, oh my God, thank God I was there. Because if I didn't have that old Mercedes between me and her, she would have died. And so when the guy who hit me came over to see if I was okay, I said, well, all I can say is thank God I was there. He said, oh my God, that's exactly what I was thinking. He said, I need to talk with you. And I said, yeah, couldn't you have, like, you know, found me at lunch or something? You know, I mean, do we really have to ruin my car to do this? And the guy was in distress because his son had just been sent back to Iraq. He had plenty of vacation time. He could have gone and been out, but they wouldn't let him take it. So he went back to Iraq. So the guy, poor guy, was only thinking about whether his son was going to make it. So I look back at things like that and I think, okay, I went through some pain on that one. And, you know, I did get a truck. And I went through a lot of changes because of that little accident. Now, that had to have been planned because, first of all, my cat kind of knew about it. He knew what the outcome was. If he knew about the accident, he wasn't saying anything to my friend. And I always thought that was kind of funny. So there's little hints like that. And if you pay attention, you'll have little hints that go through life and tell you, hey, this was something you planned. And you planned it for a reason. Now, sometimes it's a little tricky to find out what the hell that reason was. But there's always a reason. Just like when we prepare, there's always a reason we prepare for something. And I've spoken before about the lack of preparation that most people have in their lives. Most people around here don't have more than a few days worth of food. And that's because they just don't want to clutter up their pretty little house with things like food storage. And I just laugh when I see that. You know, when you go to somebody's house and you open their refrigerator and they have no food in it, you go, how do you live? I mean, you know, coming from an Italian family, that makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, I was always taught to be prepared because if you don't need it, your neighbors might need it. And, you know, I used to live in Northern California, so I came through some pretty bad storms. It's not so bad anymore, but it used to be horrendous. You know, we used to have gale force winds, and the rain would come in sideways and just soak you to the bone. It was pretty impressive. And power would go out for days at a time. And, you know, we just kind of all sat around the fireplace and just dealt with it. And it was no big deal. And as I've gone through life, I've seen so many people that completely freak out when any of that happens because they have no idea what to do. And any person who is teaching any kind of survival skills will tell you mental preparation is the most important thing you can do. Now, I'm saying all this because before we get into the meat of the show, where we're going to be talking about how to prepare for next year, no matter what it brings, I would like to remind you that since mental preparation often spells the difference between success and failure in whatever you're doing, don't you think it might be good to kind of prepare yourself for any contingency? And I don't mean that you sit there and you worry. That would be counterproductive. Instead, what you do is you think, okay, well, what if there was some disaster and I didn't have any food for a week or a month or, God forbid, a year? What would I do? What if I didn't have any water? Where could I go to get fresh water? What if there was some really terrible nuclear disaster, whether it's man-made or caused by nature? Who knows? Do you have thick plastic and duct tape so you can tape over your windows and doors and get past the worst part of fallout? Do you have plans? You know, if something happens, do you know where you're going to meet up with your kids or your loved ones? So it's those types of things that we need to pay attention to. Financial preparation, too. There's a lot of people that have absolutely no financial preparation because they've been living hand to mouth for years. And so, you know, when somebody tells me, well, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my God, you know, I'm going to lose my house. It's like, okay, so lose the house. Don't expect any sympathy from me on that one. You know, been there, done that. And the thing is, it was the most freeing thing that ever happened to me because I no longer had to worry about the unfair things that were being practiced on me. And I could tell you some real stories about the mortgage business. But, you know, what's your preparation? I mean, if you give every penny you have to a mortgage company and they take your money and they tell you, you know what, that's still not enough, we're going to foreclose on you. What are you going to do? You know, I can tell you right now, most of the stuff you have, you don't need. And I say that as a person whose friends run in the other direction when I say that I'm moving because I have so much stuff. But I do a lot of things, you know. But I mean, if it comes right down to it, you're talking survival, okay? You're talking about food, shelter, clothing, and good water, good air. Okay, that's really it. Safety. You'd like to have safety. Doesn't always happen. So when you're going through things like that, you know, preparing for the next year, think about this. Even if you make very little money at your job or whatever you do, if you took 10% of whatever you've got and you put it into silver, silver's pretty easily obtainable still. I don't know what the spot price is on silver right now, but it's hovering somewhere between about 35 and 40, I think. So if you put away 10%, well, then when you get 30 or 40 bucks, go buy a silver coin. Don't go out and buy some gadget. You don't need another gadget. You need to have some kind of security. And food. When you go to buy food, get some extra rice or beans. You need rice, beans, and corn for your essential amino acids. So putting aside the blood type diet for the moment and the fact that most corn supplies are now GMO, I would say go get some organic corn at the very least, non-GMO certified. It's going to be more expensive. However, do little preparations like that. You know, one extra food item whenever you go shopping for food can help you. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is not only to help you to prepare, but also this takes care of the mental anguish that people go through. And I can tell you, stress is a huge killer. It destroys people's lives very quickly sometimes. So if you can alleviate even a tiny bit of stress from your life, you're ahead of the game. So these are just simple things you can do. You know, and go shop the sales. You know, like one of my favorite things is to go bargain hunting at Ross and Marshall's and TJ Maxx and, you know, Tuesday Morning and, you know, Family Dollar and all these places, especially for seasonal items. One of the things that you want to have is you want wool, real wool, 100% wool. Merino wool is the best. And you want to have t-shirts, sweaters, gloves, hats, mittens, socks out of wool. And you also want cotton. Wool's a little itchy. Merino's not, but, you know, the other wool is itchy. So you want to have thin cotton to go underneath them if you tend to be itchy. After the ski season, you can go to the different ski stores or, you know, the different outfitter stores when they have their big clearance sales and get yourself some thermals. You can get cotton thermals. You can get silk thermals. Silk will really keep you warm, and they're not that expensive. Or you can do the new microfibers because they're going to want to clear all that stuff out, you know, once the season's over. So start thinking about that kind of stuff. As you get yourself more prepared, you will find that you really stop worrying about all this stuff that goes on in life. And, you know, you're going to get bombarded from every angle with, you know, the media is trying to instill fear in you. And in case you didn't know it, the reason for that is because you're easily controlled when you give in to fear. The other thing is there's a class of beings that they call the eaters that comes from another dimension. And these things go through all of the galaxies in their dimension, and then they move into another dimension, and they wipe out everything. What they eat is fear. And so they're going to pump you with as much fear as they possibly can and feed off of you. You know, everything's got to eat. So I can tell you that having been confronted with one of those beings one night, it was pretty funny because this thing latched onto me, and it was huge. And I could not move a muscle. I couldn't even twitch. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, wow, is this how I die? And I thought about it for a minute and I went, okay, now that's really odd, because if a human being was holding you, you could still twitch unless you were paralyzed for some reason. But here I was and I was thinking about all this and I had that first instant of fear. And then I completely let go and I said, well, you know, if this is the way I'm going to die, okay, this is interesting. And then nothing happened. And so then I thought, huh, well, let me see what shape this being has. And I start like moving back against it and rubbing against it, trying to figure out what shape it has. And it fled. It was so funny. I started laughing. I laughed so hard. And then I realized, oh my God, that was one of those eaters. And I had fallen asleep with the window open. And all of a sudden, you know, I woke up being immobilized. So, I mean, that was just really weird. And, you know, all kinds of thoughts go through your head when something like that happens. But you got to control the fear instantly, especially if it's one of those beings, because they won't keep sucking on you if you have no fear, because they can't eat love. In fact, that'll destroy them. So that's just another little tidbit. Yes, I've had a strange life. And I know many of you have too. So let's work on, in this next year, let's work on getting rid of the fear and being prepared for anything, okay? Now, everybody talks about being prepared for the rapture and the ascension and all this stuff. I was just talking with a friend of mine about that. And we were reminding each other, you know, it says right there in the Bible that no man shall know when the end comes. And, you know, there can be changes right up to the last minute, depending upon the mind of humanity. So it's extremely important that we all keep our minds in alignment with our hearts and stay in that point of love and joy and trust in the Creator, whatever you want to call it. When you trust in the Most High, then you don't have to worry about anything. And I've told you before, you know, when I've had my near-death experiences, you know, you're out of the body in a second. Your body, you're not going to feel the body. You're not going to feel anything other than that great joy at being reunited with your real family, which is on the other side. So one of the ways that I think would be helpful for, you know, to help you guys to prepare would be to kind of give you a reminder now and then, like maybe once a month. I want to put together a program where I'll remind you of preparations. Now, let me issue a precautionary note here. People get all jazzed up about the new year and starting everything new, and they overwhelm themselves. And so you drop it after a couple of weeks. And anybody who has ever, you know, gone and joined the gym in January or in December thinking they're going to start in January, you know, pretty much you let that go by. So gyms make a lot of money on people like that. But if you go easy and just do a little bit at a time and make it fun, then you can continue with whatever you're going to do. Make it fun. And as you do, you will be able to continue it. Now, what I would like you to do, if you want to play this little game with me, is this week, before the first, sit down and write down those things that have happened to you in your life that have been really traumatic or very difficult. And don't get lost in the emotion of that, but rather look at it with an eye towards, what did I learn from that? What strength did I develop because of that? And write that down. I would like you to keep that on your calendar so that whenever you start to get down and you think you're going through a hard spot, you can flip back to that and look at it and go, yeah, I've been through hard stuff before and I came out better. The only way you don't come out better is if you give in to the emotion, to the drama, and you give in to anger, and you give in to fear and resentment. Whatever happened, happened, okay? If you keep going over it, what you're doing is you're wounding yourself again. So just go back just briefly to remember what happened and then reflect upon what's happened since then. How has it brought a strength into your life? Because, you know, once you've been through something like that, you own it. There are strengths that I have that I couldn't pass on to anyone, because they would have to go through exactly what I went through in order to be able to own that strength. So go see what your strengths are. Then I would ask that you sit down and make categories in your life. You know, one should be health, family, or friends, if you don't have any family, loved ones, whatever. Another category should be finances. Another category should be fun. Don't call it entertainment, just call it fun. Another category would be physical activity. Another category might be a hobby, or two or three. Make sure you put spiritual in there too. Not religious, spiritual. Your connection with Creator Source, however you choose to do that, could be religious. And then write down also a category for mental health, mental and emotional. Okay? And any other categories that you want. And what I suggest you do is you pick out one thing, just one, in each category that you want to improve on, that you want to prepare for over the next year. Just one. You know, you're going to be tempted to do 5 or 10 or whatever. We all get enthusiastic making New Year's resolutions, but you know what? Most of the time they don't work. The reason they don't work is because you're too overwhelmed. You're trying to do it all at once. That's kind of difficult to do. So do it the easy way. And just make some little agreement with yourself. Like, say you want to have a little more financial stability and you want to have something that you can fall back on in the case of an emergency. Well, you know you can't trust banks, so what's the point of putting money in the bank? And you may not be able to go out and buy a gold piece every month, but hey, you could buy silver. So I would suggest you start small. So you could buy a mercury dime for, I think they're about $3. So start small and start just putting some things away. Okay? Start like with one can or one bag of rice or beans or something every time you go shopping. Start doing some food storage. And one of the things that I started to do was do the healthy, some organic, all non-GMO dehydrated foods. And you could buy just one pack of that stuff. It feeds 4 people, just one pack. Get mac and cheese. Buy one a month. If you're interested in that, go to my radio page or to the enlightenedmedicineshow.com, and you'll see a little link there to go to the Go Foods place and pick out what you want. You can get it on an auto ship program. You know, whatever. Or you can just drop me a line and say, hey, I didn't see anything there that I could do, but I'd like to get, like, you know, one bag of mac and cheese a month. And I'll work something out with you. Because it's all about preparation. And also, as soon as the cold season is over, go hit up the stores for clearance sales. And have your little list of stuff. You know, you should have a full wardrobe of wool. And a full wardrobe of thin cotton. So like a thin cotton long sleeve t-shirt, thin cotton socks, thin cotton gloves. And the reason for that is because you can use those to do what they call the wet t-shirt or the wet sock treatment, where the cotton is wrung out in ice water and put the gloves on or the t-shirt or the socks, and then you cover them with the wool. And you will be toasty warm, and you will sleep like a baby. And it only takes a couple of minutes to get toasty warm in that. Okay? So it's a medicinal treatment. So you can do little things like that. If you have a pet, you need to prepare for the pet too. So check when the different pet places have some sales. And if you keep the pet food in the refrigerator, it's going to last longer. Make sure that you get all the air out of the bag when you open the bag. You know, squish it all down and then keep it in something that's an airtight container. And the reason you want to do that is because once you open a bag of pet food, the meat in it is going to air spoil in 20 minutes. So you want to be sure you keep the pet food fresh, and the pets will appreciate it a lot more too, and will help them to stay healthier. Okay, if you're looking at doing some physical activity, start slow, especially if you're not already a jock, okay? If you get too enthusiastic and you hurt yourself, then you're going to sit home and whine and moan for a while, and then you won't go back to the gym or you won't continue your walking. So curb your enthusiasm so that you just do a little bit, just do enough so that you're doing something. So if you have a rebounder, start with 1 minute and don't bounce up and down wildly because you might pull a groin muscle. Been there, done that too. That hurts. And then you can't do anything for a while. So just do, you know, little gentle exercises. Do some back exercises. Do whatever. But just do a little bit, okay? You don't have to do the marathon. And you don't have to work out for 30 minutes your first time. That would be detrimental. So if you want to get in better physical shape, just do a little bit, okay? Take a walk. You know, take a little stroll after dinner every day. And if you're in an area that has bad weather, well, get yourself in the car and go take a little stroll in the mall or something. Just watch people. Or go to the library, you know, go to a concert hall or something, whatever's available. But find a way to get, find a way to get a little more physically active. Just a little bit at a time. By the end of the year, you'll be out there able to play whatever games you want to play, and you know, you'll be in good shape. But don't blow it all in January. So when you're preparing for the new year, and I say this as a person who has failed many New Year's resolutions, because I did exactly these things. This is how I know this stuff, you know. And I found that it's better to be kinder and gentler with yourself. So if you do it little by little, you'll succeed. You can keep a log if you want to. Whatever you're going to do. I would also suggest that one of your categories be meditation and or prayer. If you start your day that way, even if it's only for 5 minutes, it's still 5 minutes is going to change your life in a good way. So if you just take a few minutes in the morning, you know, if you're one of those people that has a lot of kids running around and it's chaos and, you know, they're always coming after you, even in the bathroom, well, then you kind of need to disappear into a closet or something for 5 minutes. But you got to take that time for yourself. This is vitally important. Because as you heal yourself by loving yourself enough to give yourself what you need, you will be able to help heal the world. This is why it's important. Each one of us has a stake in this dream slash nightmare that we're living. And so I am suggesting that people awaken within the nightmare and change it to a dream. We can have paradise. It's our choice. So let's change the collective consciousness by starting with changing ourselves. So as you go into this new year, don't give yourself an excuse to fail. And that's one of the worst things that people do to themselves. And they say, oh yeah, I'm going to join a gym. Oh yeah, I'm going to eat right. Oh yeah, I'm going to do this and that. It's too much. Just do a little bit. But find where the most important things are. If you have some kind of physical disease, for instance, say you have just been saddled with the information that you have diabetes or heart disease, those two things are reversible very easily with natural means. You can heal even after a heart attack. You can heal very quickly. You don't have to have permanent damage. But it's not drugs that are going to make that change. It's natural substances. And you need to be with a doctor that knows how to do that. But in the meantime, you have to eat right. And I can tell you, one of the first things I do with my patients is I tell them to give me a diet diary for 2 weeks. I want to know everything that goes in their mouth. I want to know when they poop, how much they poop, what it looks like. I want to know what their energy level is, how they slept, and what their mood is. And if there's any changes during the day, I want to know when that happened. For instance, I had one patient years ago who was a juvenile diabetic. She was in her 30s. And she said she had these terrible migraines. She'd been to 39 doctors in 1 year. They blacklisted her so that no doctor would see her because they thought she was crazy. And she came in and, you know, we did an evaluation on her. And I said, all right, give me your diet diary. She said, I eat really healthy. I said, okay, write it all down. And she came back in a week and handed me the diary. And I just started laughing. And I said, well, look at this. Every time you eat this and this, you get bloated. And an hour later, you have a migraine. And she couldn't believe me. She yelled, what? She grabbed that paper and looked at it. I said, yeah, there it is, black and white. So Some of what you're going through could be because of your diet. I saw one the other day that people were telling me what was going on. And I said, oh my God. I looked at the diet and I went, I see what your problem is. It's like totally acidic and dead foods. And so in order to change something like that, you have to go to live foods, which is, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, sprouts, you know, things like that. So look at what your eating habits are. Love yourself enough to see where you can help yourself. Because this body, like it or not, this is the vehicle that you're running around life in. And, you know, we all have things we go through. You know, I've been struggling with weight my entire life, but I'll tell you what, after I got poisoned, it was something else. Nobody knows what to do with this. And so I just keep praying that I'm going to find the other piece in the puzzle that I need in order to get past this, because this isn't me. I'm normally very athletic. But I have been brought down to the ground and almost 6 feet under several times in my life. Now, why? It's because I wasn't paying attention. You know, I just figured that I could go through life and I could do my work and, you know, I could play and do all these things I'd normally done. And there came a time when all that was clashing with my spiritual side, because I was striving so hard to get to the next level spiritually, but my body couldn't keep up. And so I crashed. Now, this is a common phenomenon. Most metaphysical teachers will tell you this. You know, you kind of hit the glass ceiling because your heart and your spirit want to soar. But if you haven't done the homework for your body, it's not going to work. So you have to bring all of the levels of your beingness up at the same time. It's almost like hormones, you know. You kind of have to regulate them. And so if you are suffering through something like that, you have my sympathies because I know what it feels like. But at some point, you've got to love your body because it's carried you through everything. Mine has carried me through things that would have killed 99% of the people on the planet. And I came out on the other side having more and more gratitude for this body. Because it's pretty incredible. It heals itself again and again and again, in spite of the things that I've done to it. And there's probably plenty of you out there that are kind of nodding your heads now and, you know, maybe patting your own bodies and going, yeah, you know what, this is a good body too. So have a little gratitude for that. Oh, that's the other thing. Make sure you have a category for gratitude and a category for sharing. People like to call it tithing. If you want to get technical about tithing, it's to give 10% of your increase. Okay? So we usually equate that with labor, but it's not necessarily. If you have more knowledge, you want to make sure you give 10% of that knowledge out too, whatever it is. And you want to do that so that you continue to get knowledge and skills and things like that. It's kind of a pay it forward type of thing. But make sure that whatever you do, you have the spirit of giving within you. Not giving because you want kudos from it. You want somebody to know how wonderful you are, because then you're not actually giving. Then you're just, you know, showing off. True giving is where you give where there's a need without looking for any kind of fanfare and without telling people what you're doing. You just go and do it because it needs to be done. You see somebody that needs a helping hand and you go help them. And you can find all kinds of ways to do that in life. You know, and if you've got enough money, you can pay for somebody behind you. You know, if you see a frazzled mother who's counting every penny, well, there you go. I mean, you're in the grocery line. You could pay for that person's groceries or a portion of them. There's all kinds of things that you can do to help other people, to give them hope. And even giving out flowers. I remember one time, oh gosh, I was in my 20s and I had had a really, really bad day. And I'm sitting there in a traffic jam in California. And I was just upset, just had a horrible day. Nothing went right. It was just one of those days when you just want to go back to bed and start all over. And this girl came skipping along, little hippie girl. And she knocked on my window and she handed me a rose. And she gave me the biggest smile you've ever seen. And I just started to laugh. And I thought, wow, what a gift. And so, it was just a little thing that it was so funny and it really impressed me. I still remember it because I really didn't want to be cheered up. And I scowled when I rolled that window down. And she handed me that flower with that 100-watt smile and said, I just wanted to give this to you, and I hope that you have a better day. I was like, wow, thank you. Little things like that. There's just no telling what you could do that could change the world. And it starts with you. So for 2013, I would ask that you bring more of that into your life. Not only to help yourself, but to help the entire world and the entire planetary system, the whole creation. Because one little simple act of kindness will ripple and it'll spread out there and it'll create other acts of kindness. And that includes being kind to yourself. Figure out what it is that you need in order to be happy. I'll give you an example. I was talking with this friend of mine earlier, and besides talking about the Creator and, 2012 and all that stuff, we were talking about what is it that we need in life. And one of my big things in life is that I have always given myself away. And by that, I mean that, my parents taught me to always be giving and to put other people before myself. And I had learned that so well that I did it to a fault and didn't take care of myself well enough. Well, it's taken me a long time, but I finally got to that point where I said, you know what? I am done with having people come over to my house for me to help them to feel better. And then they leave and they leave their nasty little germs, energy germs, all over the place because they dump the stuff there in my house and they go away feeling better. And then I have to go clean that energy. Now, I got a little irate with that because sometimes I have a hard enough time cleaning my own energy, much less anybody else's. And so I realized that, part of the problem is that as a healer, I don't have solid boundaries. And that's how I can tell what's going on with someone, because I make my boundary kind of amorphous so that I can kind of empathize with them, so I can feel what's going on with them. And then I automatically take it in. I don't keep it, I allow it to flow out, but then it's in my environment. And so my rule for this next year is nobody comes to my house. And I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I decided that I need a sanctuary. And if they want to come and see me, they can come and see me someplace else. And then I'll be a lot more at ease because I'm not having to deal with whatever crap they're going to try to dump, and their different little upsets and things. And it sounds kind of snotty, and maybe it is, but that was something I decided that I needed to do for myself because when I'm out there helping people, I'm on 100%. And there are days when I have nothing left because I've given everything that I have. And when that happens, I get grouchy if it keeps happening consistently, even though I've allowed it to happen. So, all you healers out there, are you raising your hands now and going, yeah, me too? So, figure out what you're going to need to be happy. And you know, since I made my little determination that I was going to keep my personal space as my sanctuary, things have really gotten interesting. It's gotten better and better. I'm much more at ease. I have a place I can go where I don't have to worry about what else is going on in there. And one of my examples is I had a friend living with me for a while who was pulling demons off of people, and then he didn't know what to do with them. So he'd pull them off and they'd be running around in my house, and I'd be going, dude, what the hell? You know, I mean, if you can pull them off, why can't you get rid of them? And I had to call a friend of mine at one point because things were flying off the walls and crashing, and I was hearing this, you know, this growl in my ear. And I was like, seriously? You think that's going to scare me? And I was just getting irate. And my friend pointed out, he said, you know, you got to stop letting people like that in your house. Because he said, you know, you've got to keep your energy clean. And I thought about that for a long time. And I said, you know, he's right. So this is part of me taking care of me. So my question to you is, what are you doing to take care of you? Now, if you live with other people, that's difficult. But where have you got in your house or on your grounds where you can go that's totally yours? Even if it's a tree, it's your tree, you know. You go out there and you hang out with that tree. Trees are very sympathetic to us, by the way. They love us. And so you can go hug a tree like a pine tree or a cedar tree. They love to be hugged, and they will give you back big hugs. Redwoods are even better. And if you only have that in your life, that's okay. Go to that one spot and let that be your healing sanctuary. Let that be the place that's your go-to place when you're feeling down or when you are feeling too tired to deal with anything. Or even, you know, go there when you're full of joy, too. Now, I would like to mention something that my teacher, Torkum, had a story about this girl who was a singer. He said that she was opera trained and she was just an amazing singer. And he said every day she stood on this one oriental carpet and she sang for hours. And she practiced and she did all these beautiful, beautiful sounds. And he said at one point, she decided to get rid of that rug. She was moving or something. And he wanted that rug. And he said, I didn't want it because it was beautiful, which it was. But he said, I wanted that rug because it had been permeated with the sounds of such beauty for so many years. He said, that rug transformed any room that it was put in. So what in your life do you have that's like that? And I can tell you that if you use a particular chair or a particular rug or a particular place in your home where you celebrate life and love and joy, where you tap into the Creator, then that item will carry those vibes. And that's something that's extremely valuable. That's something that people will love to have when you pass it on, because it'll be a blessing in their life. So you can create your own space like that. Even if it's just a shawl or something, that you know, like a prayer shawl that you use, whatever, or a prayer bandana. You know, it doesn't have to be big. It could just be something that is kind of like along the lines of a lucky token, but it's more than that. It's something that you use when you're tapping into the creative source of all life. And when you make that connection, you become radioactive briefly. And so the items that you are wearing or carrying also become radioactive. But it's not a harmful radiation. It's a radiation of such light and love that it will really be a blessing to anybody that has that. So you can practice that too over the next year. And I would also ask And whenever you're watching the news and you hear something terrible, you put your hand over your heart. Protect your heart. Because that's one of the biggest offenders. You know, you're watching TV, you're kind of in a trance state in the first place. And then, bam, they hit you with the most sensational, most awful, gruesome pictures and story. And they do that because, you know, it's profitable. But the problem is that you're in that trance state, you take it into yourself, and it's going to harm you. So protect your heart. You know, and make sure that you're totally aware if you're watching the news. Be aware of anything like that so that you can protect your heart right away. One of the worst things in the world you can do is go to sleep with the TV on, because then you have no filter. And so if you're wondering why you're depressed or why your life doesn't seem to be going well, I would say check that out first. So if you make these little subtle changes in your life over this next year, you'll start to see some differences, usually within the first couple of months. By the end of the year, you won't recognize how much better you've become unless you have it written down. So it helps to keep a journal. You know, just jot down your thoughts, jot down how you're feeling, and jot down your dreams. These things will all help you to become more of who you really are. And might I remind you that who you really are is a multidimensional, incredible light. We come from light. We are light. And we go back to the light. And the more of that light that you can bring through, the more beautiful your life will be. And one of the things that happens as you free up yourself by becoming more of who you really are, is that you become more of service in the world. And that means that you find ways to go make things better. And in everything that you do, you're constantly looking to improve things. Instead of this "what's in it for me" attitude, every time I hear that, I'm like, I just shake my head, you know, because if you have to have that, you know, "I did this, so you owe me that." And if you're not going to do anything unless you're really going to profit from it, then you've already missed the boat. And you might try to reverse all that as quickly as possible, because it's a nowhere path, at least nothing but destruction. So instead, look at the ways that you can make things better for everyone. It doesn't have to be big. Like I said, it could be something very simple. Sometimes just going into the grocery store and smiling, looking into every person's eyes that you talk to and smiling. You know, not like a goofy idiot, but, you know, sincerely. Or helping someone to reach something and looking them in the eye and smiling at them. That's enough to help someone get through a day. There's all kinds of things you can do. And the reason I say these things is because if you focus too much on what's wrong in your life, all you're going to get is more of what's wrong. And you're going to get more and more unhappy. Nothing's ever going to be right. The way you get past that is you look outside of yourself. And when you start to realize that you're here in service to the rest of creation, that we all are, that's when you really make a change. And it doesn't have to be difficult. So as you go through things in your life, please contemplate these things. And I hope that tonight's show has given you a little hint of how to make it through the new year with all of your New Year's resolutions. I prefer to start a list of accomplishments. I used to do journal entries. Now I just write it down as accomplishments. What do I accomplish every day? And, you know, not just physically, but, you know, what did I accomplish mentally, emotionally, spiritually? You know, what do I count as something that was worth going through the day for. Think about that. See how it does for you. And then drop me a line now and then. Let me know how you're doing with it. I'd love to hear stories about how people have changed their lives by doing these simple little things. And the more things like that you do, the easier it's going to get. And you could see real magic happening in your lives. And really, this is how you make successful manifestations too. You have to have a foundation. You know, it can't be greed. It can't be want. It has to be part of who you really are. And as soon as you attain that, life really becomes magic. You know, it's kind of handy, you know. It can save your life, too. So hopefully that's given you an idea of how to start your January. Now, through January, I'm going to be focusing on things about preparation for the year. Because if you've listened to some of the prophets and all the different people that do, you know, astrology and numerology and all kinds of predictions, you know, they're predicting all kinds of dire stuff and saying, oh, it's all going to happen in 2013. And it might. So I would like to devote January to helping you to prepare more. And, you know, picking out different aspects of how do you prepare, how do you move into a better state of being in these different categories. Now, of course, my favorite one is health. So we will definitely have a big show on health. And one of my other favorite things is the mental preparation. So we're going to go through a few things that can help you very quickly in such cases of trauma. Okay? It's all about helping you to be healthier and happier. All right. So that kind of wraps up our show for this week. And I'd like to remind you that the show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com and canceralternative.us. And as usual, and until next week, be healthy, be happy, and be who you really are. Nighty night.